in a career that has taken her from being a combat pilot to becoming the first female member of the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds flying demonstration team, a fighter squadron commander, and a White House fellow, Nicole Malachowski has learned a lot about leading teams and empowering each individual to contribute to goals and objectives. Nicole shared some of those lessons with us and the principles safety professionals can use to reach their full potential and take their teams to the next level. Something you talked about today, your mantra, if you will, is nobody wants to lead a scripted life. What tips would you give someone who feels that they've fallen into something like that and how they can break out of it or how they can help ensure they don't lead a scripted life? I know we all have times where we feel like outside circumstances are dictating how we're living our lives. So how would you encourage people to kind of break out of that?
I think it's to really listen to the people around you. Right. So one of the things that's important in the story I told was that there was someone who was believing in me. And it's important to believe those who believe in you. The people who are saying, maybe you should apply for this job. Maybe we should put you in for this award. And it's human nature, I think, to constantly maybe doubt yourself or to demur. The next time someone, you know, says something like that, like, hey, what do you think about trying this new experience? Just say yes. Right? So believe those who are believing in you. They're doing it for a purpose. It's because they see something and they see that capability that we sometimes can't see in ourselves. I think the other thing is we all harbor that little feeling in our stomach that says, man, I want to try that. Right? I want to be cool. But we never honor that kind of internal instinct.
Right.
And when we do that, we're inhibiting our growth. We literally have no idea what we're capable of until we're willing, right, to go outside of that comfort zone. So the next time you get that little feeling that goes, nah, that's too hard or that's too big, take the leap. Maybe it's running a 5K, right? Maybe it's going on a solo trip to Asia, these things that maybe you just were nervous about. Just go do it. Because that's how you're gonna flex your muscles.
Right.
That's how you're gonna grow. And I can assure you, we are all way more capable and way stronger than we give ourselves credit for.
On that note, another one of your big things is conquering self-doubt to reach your potential. How has that idea shaped your perspective in the adversity you faced, and what steps can others take to do the same?
I think one of the things that we have to do with self-doubt, at least for me, is don't cross bridges you're not at. Like, we're pretty good about ruminating, right? Or I guess human beings ruminate a lot about the past, right? We ruminate about the mistakes we made or the things that didn't go right. I think with self-doubt, I think it needs to be very forward-looking. And with that, I mean, like, don't catastrophize the future either. If you haven't tried something or taken a leap of faith, you literally have no idea how it's going to work out.
Right.
It may open the door to new opportunities. It may open the door to new levels of success. At its very worst, right, if you try something, you put yourself out there, you're going to end up right where you are. There's very few ways, right, where we're going to push ourselves back. So don't, you know, catastrophize things that happen in the future or cross bridges that you're definitely not at. Try to be present in the current moment. The other thing is, when I think of self-doubt, it comes to this idea of, like, success. It took me a long time to realize that I get to define success for me. I don't have to live up to other people's definitions of success or expectations of success. And further, the beauty of this thing we call life is that everyone's definition of success is different. And when you define success for yourself outside of anybody else's expectations, I think it's very freeing and it empowers
Absolutely.
You more to take that step.
Yeah. And it seems like a lot of people fall into, I would say, that trap, but, you know, worrying about what other people think as opposed to, it's like, no, this is
my definition.
Exactly.
Of success.
Yeah.
Only you. Yep. It's unique to you. It can be tailored to you, and it has nothing to do with anybody else.
One of the big themes in your talks is handling and adapting to change. I know we've all come across people in our personal and professional lives who are averse to change for whatever reason. How would you encourage people to not only be change agents within their own organizations, but to help guide others through that as well?
I mean,
like harnessing the headwinds of change, as you put it.
It's human nature, I think, right? To either resist change or even actively, you know, like literally actively resist change. And so I think when you're leading a team and you're trying to bring people through change, there's going to be some who are just completely resistant. The first step in that moment is to empathize with them, right? We're all human beings. We all have circumstances where things are just difficult,
yeah.
Okay? Change is hard for everybody. As a leader, it might not be for you in that specific circumstance because you're the one guiding the team, but always empathize, right, with the folks who are resisting. The second thing is to have an individual and tailored conversation with every person on your team to kind of really understand where they are, right, in accepting or handling the change. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of times some of the resistance comes from a fear of the unknown. And maybe as leaders, we haven't communicated everything as clearly as we thought.
Right.
Maybe we have questions amongst our team that have gone unanswered. So provide that venue and go, you know, I see that it's hard, and I absolutely understand that it's hard. You know, do you have any questions or things that are unanswered? So empathize and then let them ask questions. And then when they're still resisting, I think the way that I have gotten past it, or the way I've been able to get people on board, is to make sure that I go, what is it that you would like to do as part of this project? What excites you, right? Because if you can put people where they can shine, where their strengths can be helpful, where they feel like they're contributing, not your expectation, theirs, let them experience that,
right?
It may mean shifting the portfolio a little, but if it means people stop dragging their feet and kind of subverting the process, they get to take ownership of this change, and then they get to, it's a feather in their cap too.
Right, thinking about how it can benefit everybody. Yes, this is an organizational change, what have you, but this can really be beneficial to you, and trying to look at it from that point of view.
And what is it that you would like to contribute? If you could contribute anything to this change process right now, what would it be? To make it better, easier, whatever it is. And then, I mean, unless there's some sort of huge risk with putting them in that role, I'd let it go. Because if you can have trust and teamwork, you can do anything. You can accomplish anything. And so it's about managing the people more than it is managing the process change.
One of your other themes that you touch on is pushing the envelope and being the best when it counts. I know pushing the envelope could conjure to mind a lot of different things for people. So in a professional sense, how would you encourage people to push the envelope in their own careers?
I think in terms of pushing the envelope, remember that's an aviation metaphor, right?
You know, really?
An aircraft, it comes from aviation. So the F-15E, for example, that I flew in combat was capable of flying at 50,000 feet, twice the speed of sound, and pulling 9 times the force of gravity. And when I talk to audiences, I use that metaphor and I say, I then would take out brand new lieutenants and teach them how to fly that F-15E. And inevitably, when I would give them the aircraft, here's what would happen. They would fly it at 20,000 feet, at 250 miles an hour and pull 2 Gs. What a waste, right? What a waste of capability. What a waste of skill set. And what a waste of the capabilities of that plane. I like to see people on teams as the same. All uniquely skilled. All different, right? All supporting a certain aspect, bringing their unique strengths. Pushing the envelope is about bringing out the best in the people on your team. It's about ensuring that people bring all of themselves to work every day, not just part of themselves.
Right.
It's about creating a team and an environment where people can be authentically themselves. It's also about making sure that people don't have to censor parts of themselves. If you're extraordinarily good at something, right, that's okay. That's something that should be applauded by the team. Each person has something. Don't censor yourself either.
Right.
Don't. Be that F-15E. If you can pull 9 times the force of gravity, go twice the speed of sound, and go 50,000 feet, then by gosh, you should. And leaders who push the envelope with their teams ensure that they have empowered, enabled, and resourced their people to do the same.
Along those same lines, one of the things we talked about today, I love with creating the culture of vulnerability, that I had never really thought about it like that before, that when you can be vulnerable with people and everybody can become comfortable with their own skills and vulnerabilities, that just strengthens the entire team when you have that connection with the people that you're working with every day.
I mean, creating a culture of vulnerability, especially on high-performing teams or elite-type teams, is hard. It takes total commitment, a ton of time, and a ton of energy on the leadership's part. But if it matters to you, which it should, then right, you're going to put the time and the effort into it, and you can accomplish creating that vulnerability. And the thing is that it's about having a team that's completely transparent. Regardless of what role a person plays, regardless of where they are in the hierarchy, right?
What their
duty title is or what their responsibility is, you know, vulnerability, I think, applies to everybody. And we do a great job of sharing best practices, and that's so important. And we do a great job of rewarding people for high performance, quarterly award winners. And
right,
vital. But let's not forget there is a flip side right to that coin. And the flip side is being open and caring enough about each other to share when things don't always go right.
Mm-hmm.
And doing it in a way where there is no shame, where there is no judgment, that you're sharing your maybe weakness or failure because you care about me. And that I receive it in a way, right, that's done with grace.
Right.
And it takes time to get there. And the only way to get a team to do that is to behave that way as a leader yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard because as leaders, we're resistant to, or even with peers, right? You're resistant to admit a failing. We resist as humans to admit weaknesses, right? But you have to break through that. And the more you demonstrate that behavior, the more other people are willing to try.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, man, she's on my side. And then the trust grows. And when trust is high and transparency is high, the execution of the mission will go off the charts every single time.
Along those lines, your steel sharpens steel story, I thought that was a really interesting, unique way to address when the people you're working with may not be acting or doing the things they're supposed to be doing, to use that as a learning experience for everybody.
Right, and the leader has to set the tone for that, right? And when the leader does it correctly, I think that they're demonstrating that they're willing to accept the risk of failures, right? It's up to the leadership to accept the risk of all these things. We want to create an environment where it's not a one mistake type job. It's not a one mistake type team. The beauty of this term risk, though, I love it, is that if you know what risk is and you can identify it in your process or what you're doing, it means you know what it is you value.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many organizations and teams out there that can't even define what it is they value. Therefore, they can't really, I think, talk fully about risk. And, steel sharpens steel is providing an environment where collectively we share the failure and collectively we share the improvement, mm-hmm. and then collectively we can share the success.
Your quote about failure being the cost of entry, I feel like, I mean, there are a lot of people out there in different positions. You can get into, I mean, depending on the culture of your workplace, get into a habit where you're afraid to make mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was something I really liked about that, failure isn't, the end all be all. If you use it as a learning experience and not let it.
You definitely have to approach failure with the right mindset,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, and let's be honest, we're talking to safety professionals here. There are certain things that are no fail, right? There are certain things where the level of risk or risk to life, right,
mm-hmm.
Is very, very high. And that's where we have to fundamentally fall back, on 100% procedure and process, compliance, because those things are often written, unfortunately, in somebody's blood. So I want to make sure I separate the failure from these high-risk, no-fail type things, which are rare and they're small. The problem is the other 95% of the time, we act like everything is completely no fail. And that's just not true, right? We catastrophize, what happens if I fail? Well, with that kind of mentality, you're going to paralyze yourself into indecision.
Right.
You're going to stagnate, and you're going to hold the status quo. Well, the fact of the matter is no organization, no team, no industry is stagnant. So at the end of the day, when you do that, you're going to get left behind. You're going to get left behind. The competitors are going to come out and beat you, whether that's other companies, et cetera. So I always say, the road of life is paved with dead squirrels, right?
Sure.
Got to go left, go right, do something, okay? But you have to make decisions.
Sure.
And failure is going to happen along the way. I've never met anybody who's been successful in any way, including the successes I've been lucky enough to enjoy, where the path was perfectly linear.
Right.
It's not. It's curved, it's bumpy, it's going to take unexpected twists and turns. And if you're really trying to grow and stretch yourself, and you're going after goals that are big or gnarly, or you're implementing creative and innovative ideas,
mm-hmm.
there are going to be failures along the way. That's
right.
The price of getting to the goal
mm-hmm.
line. And this whole idea of the failure being the price of entry feeds right into this vulnerability thing as a team, right? Creating an organization. We're trying innovative and creative things. Accepting the risk of failure is owned by everybody, right? It's all interconnected.
Mm-hmm.
Something else you talk about, tailoring your leadership to each unique individual. When you talk about leading your squadron, your other leadership experience, what steps can those in leadership positions take to really ensure that they're meeting the needs of everybody on their team? Especially, I mean, you have a large corporation, you're overseeing a large team, you have a lot of direct reports. How can you, you know, really take that approach to make sure that everybody's needs are met?
So I've discovered over time that I'm maybe led a little bit differently, for better or for worse, in this area. You know, at any given time, I had about 100 people in the fighter squadron, and I made a point of knowing each of them individually. I made a point of tailoring my interactions with them to their unique skill sets, their personality, and to their needs. And I think a lot of times leaders go, well, I don't have the time to do that, right? It's hard. How do I make time to set aside to get to know 100 people,
right,
or 200
right.
people? Here's my answer. If it matters to you, you'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not about you having to do it. They're the ones doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones doing the job. You don't need to. They're going to do that for you if you get to know them and put them in the right place to thrive. When people are happy and thriving and using their skill sets, right, they're willing to give more, to do more, to
right.
be a part of something bigger than themselves. What I would literally do in my squadron, when someone would show up brand new to the team, my schedulers knew that they would have to set aside a 3-hour window within the first 2 weeks of someone joining my unit to spend with me. Now, it sounds kind of crazy, and a lot of people are like, 3 hours in a day times 100 over, you know, plus the rotation and the turnover, you can't possibly do that. Yes, actually,
yeah,
you possibly can.
If you make a point to do it, yeah.
And in those few hours, we would go, maybe we would jog because that's what they wanted to do. Maybe
mm-hmm.
we'd go get a Starbucks coffee. We wouldn't sit in the office. Maybe, I'd be like, you have an interest? You ever been to the air traffic control tower? You haven't? Let's go. It would be a field trip where we got to know each other as human beings and individuals. And this is the key. One of the most important things I would ask them is, what's your definition of success? Where is it that you want your career to go? Not what the Air Force or the standards or the normal career progression says. Put that aside. What is it that you want to do? Because ultimately, not everybody in my Air Force wanted to be a general.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody wanted to be the CEO in your company, right? And so by knowing that, you can help
right.
them meet their definition of success, right? And when people are meeting their
right.
definition of success,
mm-hmm.
then they're contributing fully.
Right. Trying to remember it, you're dealing with people every day. Everybody has their own circumstances, their own personal things they're dealing with.
And in that first meeting, right, I'm not sitting there talking to them about what it is to be a fighter pilot. They're trained fighter pilots. I'm not sitting there talking to them necessarily about what it means to be a professional fighter pilot. These were grown men trained to do the job, you know, that they were called to do in that squadron. I know that they have the foundational processes, you know, and procedures. The whole purpose of that meeting, the sole purpose of that meeting, is to transmit exactly what you said. This is the culture I have here in my squadron. These are my expectations. I want to tell you as a follower, right, what it is I value.
Right.
Because if you understand what I value, then when you go out and execute the mission, or you understand what we as an organization value, when it comes time to do your job and execute the mission, you're going to make the right decisions. It's all about values. It's all about culture.